All right, I want to welcome back all of you all who have been keeping track with us, and even if we have some new listeners, to our Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We are endeavoring to continue and finish up the book of Acts. We've gone chapter by chapter and verse by verse with much discussion, question answering, and what a joy it has been. We have looked at it from several directions. One, the way that most people do when they study the Bible, they don't pray. They just jump into it and hope that God will bring some revelation, but that's not the way that we have endeavored to take this Bible study. We pray before we get into it, and we look at it as if God is talking specifically to us, and we look at it as how God will continue to work with this church. Because the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It changes not. Neither in him is any variableness nor shadow of turning. So what it took to start the first church is the same thing it's going to take to continue on with the church as it exists today. And so that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when they were on one accord in one place, the Holy Ghost fell, and look what happened. That was an explosion in the hearts of men. And they went about not looking at their own situations, but looked at the world through God's eyes. And it wasn't about them, but it was about others. And so here at Cross Culture Church, we are concerned with others. And so we're looking at this book of Acts and continuing on into chapter 26, how Paul has gone from one judge to another judge with the same thing, telling them the fact that Jesus is Lord. And what a joy it is for us to know that we are going to be judged. Amen.
Amen.
That word and truth that we have is going to bring forth some judgment. People are going to come against us. People are not going to like us. And some are going to agree. Some are going to go along. But not everybody is going to enjoy it. So let's move right on into chapter 26, and we're going to go on into the first verse and move on. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for yourself. Because as we know, there have been some accusations and some lies told and some trumped up charges against Paul. And every time Paul has let them know that all of these things that you're saying, not only are they not true, but some of you all that are saying them weren't even there in the beginning. So it's going on up the line now. So now we're at Agrippa. And so Agrippa says, it's time for you to talk for yourself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before you, touching all of the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. He said, listen, I'm going to deal with it. Every little bit of it. Because this really is a matter of them versus me, not Rome versus me. All right? Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech ye thee to listen me, to hear me patiently. I like that part. He prepping him, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But now, Paul, this is not Paul's first rodeo, right?
No.
So everybody else been buttering him up. So Paul know how to say, listen, I'm glad that I can talk for myself because you and I got an understanding. You know what I'm getting ready to say because you understand what these Jews talking about here. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. What'd he say? Mm. He said, I'm familiar with them. I grew up with them. Mm-hmm. These my folks. I know about them. I know them, in other words. I know where they're coming from. This modern day tactic. I'm familiar with them. Mm-hmm. I got them. That them Nims. I'm with Nims on this
Mama
one.
Nims.
Mama Nims. Yeah, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a what?
Pharisee.
So he said, listen, they couldn't be no more stricter about the law than me. Mm-hmm. I was a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the what?
Promise
made of God unto our fathers. Now he's drawing a line in the sand now. All of this stuff they done said, he hitting them in the throat now. He got them now. Out of all this they've been talking, he said, I'm going to talk your language now. I know. I've been there. I grew up. He said, and if y'all would acknowledge the fact, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, verse 7, unto which promise our 12 tribes, notice he said our, because he was from the tribe of what? Y'all know which tribe he's from? Benjamin. Yeah, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. So see, he bringing it on home now. He said, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. He said, they accusing me of having hope. Mm-hmm. He said, I got hope. That's what they're accusing me of. Hey, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Good question. Making them start to think now. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he's saying? I was against him at first. Did he not have a zeal but not according to knowledge?
Right, and he was Saul before he was Paul.
That's right. So he knew which direction he was going in, even though it was wrong. Mm-hmm. All right. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the who?
The chief priest.
From the chief priest. Mm-hmm. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Mm-hmm. 11. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. He said, I even traveled out of town and got them.
Wow. So he did that too. He got both testimonies.
Right. So he's
where I've been and where I am now.
So he's identifying. Mm-hmm. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the high priest. At midday, O king, here comes his testimony. Mm. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, mm-hmm. above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground or to the earth, I heard a voice saying unto me, and saying in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, mm-hmm. both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, mm-hmm. and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I stand thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Wow.
In me, who is in Christ.
Amen.
Not in Paul, not in Saul, in him. Mm-hmm. Now, from 16 to 18 is where we are. we've been given that same light.
Amen.
To shine to people so that they can come out of darkness into that marvelous light, so that what can happen? So that their sins can be forgiven.
Amen.
So that they can turn from the power of Satan to God. Right? And
right.
that they can get an inheritance.
Right.
If we didn't do no more Bible study, this is where we could stop right here. Because this is us.
Yeah.
This is where we are right here in the 21st century. It is still our job today as being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring forth light into darkness.
And this is also our testimony right here too, in that we wonder a lot of times, so why am I going through? You're going through so you can get to. And the getting to means that so you can have a testimony so you can bring others across. So it's really not for us when we're going through whatever. It's for others because God's going to get us through.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. We're going to be victorious. But being victorious means that we're to go and help somebody else. And as we go through our trials and sorrows and tribulations and tests, we just need to remember it's not about us. It's not for us. We're going through it so we can help somebody else.
Also, when you take a look at chapter 26 as a whole, Paul is not trying to defend himself. Paul is not on trial. He's before King Agrippa, and actually it's Agrippa number two.
Right.
And I forget what the word Agrippa stands for. I think it's a title, I'm not sure. But he was there really, in a sense, telling Agrippa about the way, about Christ. He was there really to risk, in my mindset, just to not tantalize them, but to prick their hearts and their minds about the way, so they could see where he's coming from. Because they thought he was crazy. I know Festus eventually thought he was out of his mind. Said, "You're too smart for your own britches." You know, and that's paraphrasing. But Paul was there in a setting, let's say on a porch, and they sitting there talking. Say, "Okay, Agrippa, this is what it's all about."
Mm-hmm.
Just gonna let you lay it out to you. You know, he's not trying to defend himself. He's talking about the Christian experience, because as we pointed out, you know, he was a Pharisee.
Right.
He knows this stuff. He knows this stuff.
Right. Anybody else?
Well, I just knew Paul was on the mission, so he was talking to a king, and he was testifying about Jesus Christ and his resurrection to the king. So that's letting us know we need to not shy away and be just as bold as Paul, no matter who we're giving our testimony to. He didn't compromise because it was the king. He didn't change his testimony. But when he was just talking to the chief priests and the Gentiles or whoever, it was the same all the way through to the end. He never changed. Matter of fact, he got a little bit more bold.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, now think about this, I want us to look at it from a overall perspective. If God had brought Paul out of all of the situations prior to this, what would make Paul think anything different about God?
That's right.
He had been through some tough situations.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they had put the hurting on him. But the fact of the matter was, his testimony drove him. He had a religious spirit, but then God turned that religious spirit into a drive for him. And so I want us to always think about that. Everybody's going to have to go through something. So if you meet somebody in the midst of a bad situation in their life, you can look at it as a Pauline experience. You know, they're going through something bad so that they can see the light. Because if everything is going so good and you got it going your way and all your ends getting met and everybody love you, are you really going to be praising God?
Nope.
No, I'm just being honest. I mean, you know, one thing the Lord said that it didn't take long for me to get the gist of it. He said it's hard for a rich man to enter in because he depending on his riches. That's where he's getting everything from.
Yeah.
So that's his God. So it's hard for him to turn away from his God, which is supplying all of his needs, which is bringing him honor, which is bringing people kissing his feet, cause he possesses this. So this is one of the things we have to understand, and I just want us to look at it. Number two, all of this prep, Paul, just like the things that we go through, is prepping us for the time when we're gonna have to give our testimony.
Right. Amen.
So. When you meet people and you start to talk to them, your testimony eventually is going to come up because the experience that you had with God is what's going to change their life. So they're going to need to have an experience.
Amen.
And I was in South Africa and was just talking to one of the pastors there, and I was just telling them, you know, how God spoke to me and how I've been experiencing God and how I learned the fatherhood of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, understanding that it's not about my earthly father,
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't able to draw some things that I needed from him.
Right.
But once I was introduced to God, the Father, then I found a Father that would love me, that would answer my questions, would be there for me. Mm-hmm. And he said, boy, that testimony right there, that you understand the fatherhood of God.
Right.
And so he said, look how many young people need to understand not to be angry, so rebellious and everything because they don't know, but they haven't really been introduced. That's what they need. They need to be introduced to God the Father. So our testimony is something, and it can change a lot of people. And just like Paul had to come before Agrippa to give his testimony, we're going to have to come before people too. And we're going to have to give our testimony and then let them know that there's a God that can forgive them of their sins, mm-hmm. and that there is a reward. I don't think we talk enough about the inheritance that we have for standing firm.
Amen. Right.
You know, a lot of times in the church, you know, you get beat up some, and you know, you get to talking about all of the transformation, everything will come. But there is a reward for you after
that's
all
right.
of that.
Amen.
That's a reward.
That's
we are going through to get to the other side,
right.
and there is an other side.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but we're going to have to go through to get it. I love it. One time Paul said, ooh, I want to be with Christ so bad, but I got to finish this race.
Yeah,
he said, I know there's a prize laid up for me,
amen.
But I can't go get it right now.
Amen.
I still got, you know, some more part of this journey I got to go through. Anybody else?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pat.
One thing about Paul. Always led you to the Father. He talked about repentance, salvation. He was letting them know that even in the midst of all that, that was salvation.
Mm-hmm.
If you just come to the Father and repent. And sometimes we go through a lot, but we ask everybody for help before we ask God for help. And finally, we come to Him and say, you know, I need help. I surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to put it at His feet. Mm-hmm. But we have made phone calls and everything else, mm-hmm. hoping somebody got the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And when God has given you the answer,
right.
ready,
right.
if you would just take time to seek Him and ask Him for direction.
Mm-hmm.
We all, you know, people quote that scripture, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust the Lord with all the heart, meaning not to their own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really know what it means to trust God?
Right. Right.
That's right.
Right. And Portia said right, you have to learn to trust God.
Yeah.
You just don't grab this trust.
You get some knots up
That faith comes by hearing, and it comes through trials, and it comes through situations.
Exactly.
And that was good, Pat, because I remember the first time I heard this, they said, you want to believe God for healing, you got to start with a headache.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, you got to start with, if you got a headache, can you believe God to help you with a headache?
You know.
And then so now if something going on and you lay your hands on your own head and you pray and believe God and things start to get better, that give you a lot more confidence to go out there and lay your hands on somebody else.
Amen.
But I'm just saying, right. So it's a step-by-step process. And like you said, if you don't surrender and say, hey, I need this, you know, I'm weak, and that's when I'm weak, I know that's when you are strong. And that's a lot of what I've been ministering to people.
And that same thing you said about the headache, mm-hmm. Charles Capp said, you know, some of us can't even heal our own headaches.
Right.
You know, exactly mm-hmm. that. He said, we don't have enough faith to heal our own
headaches. Heal our own sick.
Let alone going out there trying to lay hands on somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But about healing, going back to 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53:4-5, I said, you would heal, because the Bible used the word work, and they told me in school that meant past tense.
Right.
And so if that means it already taken place. You might have to walk through something to get there, mm-hmm. but by faith you'll heal, and so you have to thank God that He already done it.
Right.
You receive it by faith.
Right. Yeah.
I like to go back to what Pat said. Pat said we call everybody else asking for the answer when God has already given it to us. But we have to go through something, because I had to go through something. God had given me the answer. It wasn't the fact that He had given me the answer. It wasn't the answer I wanted.
Okay.
It gives us the answer, but that's not what we want. So you're still dealing with a flesh issue. You want a full... what is it? You want to forge on with your own way.
Mm-hmm.
You, and that means you still have not surrendered nor submitted to Him. And that just shows us we haven't surrendered or submitted. And that's the key. It's not that He's not speaking to us. He speaks to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't want what He's saying. Because we still want what we want. No, that wasn't the right answer.
That ain't the right answer.
Like they say, door number 1, 2, 3.
That couldn't have been God.
Number 3 wasn't what? Number 1 wasn't the answer we wanted.
That couldn't have been God gave me that answer.
So
that
we still looking. You know.
I just have a cousin used to say, what? It may not be good for me, but it should be good to me.
That wasn't the answer.
I want to add something to that, but I'm not. about to take me back.
Okay.
But now again, all of that is
good to you, not good for you.
That's right. But let us understand here again, 16-18 is a foundation that we can use anytime, anywhere, any place.
Amen.
Any place. It is He who is the light.
Amen.
Is he's the light, and when you bring it to somebody, it should bring them out of darkness, and then from that, they can be made whole.
Mm-hmm. Let me share this. Yesterday, I had a VA appointment at the Veterans Hospital, and if you know anything about the Veterans Hospital, you need to have some patience I'm serious.
A lot of patience.
You got to have some patience.
You got to take a bag of patience with
mm-hmm.
you. And over the years, I always take a good book with me. I normally keep a couple of good books in my truck. So I'm sitting there reading a nice book and just waiting, getting my eyes checked again. And just waiting and waiting and waiting. Everybody's just waiting and waiting and waiting. Call your name and call your name and call your name and that kind of stuff like that. So I'm just waiting, reading, waiting, waiting. And this couple sitting next to me, Caucasian couple, not that it really matters, lady came out and said, Bobby Whitaker, Mr. Whitaker? I said, yes, that's me. And I got up and I said this sarcastically when I got up, I really did. I said, there is a God. And the couple said, that is the truth. And I just fell out laughing.
That's the truth.
There is the truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
They knew who you were coming from. If you had time, they would have opened the door up for something.
Oh, yeah. But see that patience that he had and the attitude that he had also was a testimony as well. Because I've been places, boy, they all off into everything. I can't believe you're taking this. Why in the world? And I mean, you just sitting there, you're going, you're wasting energy. All that that you're doing ain't going to change part of this situation.
I told you, I've been patient in a lot of situations. And the people will say, oh, thank you, ma'am. You've been so patient. I'm going to give you a little 5 or 10% discount. Just because you were patient.
You're obedient.
They'll knock something off your bill or something. She said, you've been so patient. I really appreciate you. You ain't, everybody around me complain. Claudette ain't see a word. I'm just standing there waiting.
Then they give you a free soda.
But that's a testimony.
You get free stuff when you be patient.
But that's a testimony that you're different from others because everybody else going cray cray and you still there. That's a big testimony.
So that's a light.
Yes.
That's a light.
Well, I took my brother to the doctor. I feel this way. When you go to a doctor, you're 20 minutes late. They charge you for not being there.
Exactly.
Okay, if you go and you got to stay 45 minutes for them to see you, then you go, my brother go back there and see the doctor for 5 minutes and back out.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, you just waste a copay.
You waste a copay.
5 minutes.
And back out. Okay, probably late. He wants to know, could he walk and what have you? And he said, yes, I'm not having no pain.
Bye.
Bye. I
said,
you know, we don't wait
45 minutes for them to tell you ain't in pain.
Right.
So I'm sorry. I'm like, nah, I guess, you know, you want my money, but I still saw it was a waste.
Money
to be there.
That's true.
All right, let's get on into 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should what?
Repent
and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of who?
God.
Help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He got them now. He said, I'm not saying anything other than what the prophets said.
Right. And Moses.
And Moses. There was one coming. Mm-hmm. He's come. He is the evidence that he come. Not only that, I saw him, and he did a work in me. 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. This is where it sticks the stake in the heart.
Right.
That he should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles.
Right.
So not only did he stick it in the heart, when he got to the Gentiles part, that really agitated them because they didn't want the Gentiles to get nothing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning doth make thee mad.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we really see here? The Spirit of God had made a demon speak. Right? Every time the truth come out of any time we seen it, what happened? Who rise up?
The enemy.
And if he don't rise up, he'll go stir up some more to rise up.
That's right.
When truth is present, you better believe the enemy coming.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He said, I hadn't been drinking, so you can't put nothing on it, but I'm speaking the truth to you.
Truth to power.
For the king knoweth these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. That a preach right there.
Okay, I am persuaded.
I am persuaded that what I'm telling you is not something that's a secret.
Right.
Huh? It's not a secret thing.
He said, I speak freely.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Mm-hmm. Boy, he got him then. He said, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. So this that I'm telling you is fulfilling these prophecies. And he said, you already know what I'm talking about, King. You know what goes on that's concerning the Jews. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian.
You almost persuaded me.
You almost got me.
Really?
Almost. Uh-huh. He said, you had me on the fence. You had me on the ropes.
Okay, but what kept him from being persuaded?
That line up here where it says, "Are you mad?" When Festus said in a loud voice, "This just one of them now." Mm-hmm. The other one was the fact that he was going to have to still deal with these Jews, who was there making accusation to Paul against Paul. Mm-hmm. He had two things going. Mm-hmm. Paul was dealing with him from a true perspective, but he also still had to deal with them people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By being a king. Mm-hmm. He was still going to have to listen to the voice of the people.
The king.
The king was.
Okay.
See, even though he was passing through and just happened to come in on this thing that was going on with Festus and them, it still would have arose to the fact that he was going to have to deal with it. It just so happens that he was already there to be able to deal with it.
Okay.
So he was saying, I'm going to tell you what I need to tell you, and you're going to understand. And he gave him a plausible case. Now, it doesn't mean that just because he didn't get it then or make the assessment then that he didn't get it. Because mm-hmm. we know some plant, some mm-hmm. water, but God give the increase. I know a lot of people that I minister to. Somebody else, I believe, will come back by water that, and then mm-hmm. I don't know whether they got saved, but I'm believing that at some point that they will, mm-hmm. especially if you've given a convincing testimony or you've given them scripture, and you could tell. Now, I've talked to people that's been on drugs, boy, and they head them been bowed, and they've been like, it almost got them, boy. They were thinking, they said, yeah, but man, I sure do enjoy doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Now, so I'm just saying that doesn't mean that the word's not working just because it doesn't instantly
get them at that time.
So what we hear here is, I think it's not a bad testimony. If he said almost, that means he's pretty close to getting it. He really close to getting it. He done heard enough truth. Now he could wake up in the middle of the night and the Lord could bring that thing on home. We just don't know. But just because he didn't get it right then.
I can see the power of God doing something that would draw them in.
That's, hey.
I'll never forget a friend at work. This lady would collect the money for toasting after she was the treasurer. And she laid an envelope of like $500 cash and a whole lot of checks on top of the trash can and went home, forgot it. And came back to work the next morning, and she was having a fit, and we prayed over Proverbs 6:31 that she had to replace that money. God was going to give her a sevenfold return on anything. And the trash used to go out at 7:15 by 7:45. The building superintendent went down there and looked, and the envelope would land on top of all the trash in the big green thing.
Wow. Mm.
And this guy said, and I said, this all most made me become a Christian. And so
He said that,
yeah. And but later on he did get saved.
Wow. The money was still there.
But he heard the prayers, and he said, because y'all believe.
He almost made me a Christian.
Right.
Isn't that something? That's a beautiful testimony.
What a testimony.
With all that money up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, you know, in our giving testimonies, we don't know where people are.
Right.
And they may not say, you know what, you know, that sounds pretty good, but I ain't ready yet. Sometimes they say it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll just say, that sound good, or let me think about it.
Yeah, let me think about it.
Oh, where y'all church at? I love this one. They try to derail you. They go,
yeah.
they go, where your church at? I think I'll come and visit you sometime. They won't answer the question. They'll try to turn it, because you know they're not coming.
Yeah.
But you'll get excited and give them the address and everything. And, you know, that all they're doing is just defusing it. You know, you done got a little too close and the fire done got a little hot. All right. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when the people were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or bonds. Mm-hmm. Then said Agrippa to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he
had not appealed to Caesar.
Right, if he had not appeared unto Caesar. Mm-hmm. So we finished up 26. I think we did good. So let's just go back in here. There's a lot that came out of 26. Let me hear some different things. What you get out of 26?
This is just me.
You.
I believe that King Agrippa, even though he said, you almost persuaded me, I'm glad that the Lord let that be in there. But because of all the people that were around and everything, he couldn't just admit it and make Festus upset and everything. But I believe he probably really did, but just wanted to kill that. Paul, have a little inkling to know that, you know, your words are really being listened to. And it's not so much that, I mean, he was a so-called diplomatic politician. He had to keep in mind who all he was around and what he had to go through. But in my book, I'm saying he already became a Christian right then.
Well, he called it out more than most.
Yeah, Griffith did.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to put him down as one. At the end of that day, he was in there.
So you claiming it?
Yeah, so he was in there. Yeah.
But anybody else?
Well, my one good thing that came with me out of all of this, God had already prepared Paul before he went through all of this. He had already prepared Paul and told him, and And that's what God is doing for us. Even before we go through some, God is preparing us, our hearts, with consolation and just loving up on us. Because whenever we're about to go through, then he's there for us. And he's also there with us, even until the end of that thing. And that's what God was there for Paul. That's what I get out of there. He had already told Paul what he was going to, you know, had given him a little preview. But, you know, he had already told Paul that he was going to be victorious, too. So, and we know that we're going to be victorious as long as we have our faith and hope in him, whatever the situation, we still will be victorious in Christ.
Anybody else?
I just like the way Paul presented his case for the gospel, or for the way, as you call it.
Okay.
I can just visualize a setting. As I said earlier, here you have Festus and Agrippa and others sitting, listen to Paul, you know. And he's not talking in a defensive manner, trying to defend himself. He's talking about the gospel.
That's right.
And that's all he's doing, as he just presented his case.
Right.
Presented his case, and he presented it so well.
Get it, Cassandra.
It's been pointed out that
you can take it, I almost got me. Mm-hmm.
And almost got me just as good as saying, I've been gotten. So right. I'm all in. That's mm-hmm. what he's been saying. Mm-hmm. Because Paul is doing what he does best, is talk about the gospel. That's
and
what
testify.
That's all he's doing.
His testimony.
And as it was pointed out earlier, you say now about the Jews, say now, wait a minute, Now, I'm one of them. I'm a Pharisee. I know this stuff too. I know the law. Say now, I know how these Jews are. I think that's how you put it. I know them, you know, so I grew up with them. I know how they think. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm saying, and this is what happened to me. And he tell him about the his conversion, you know, and that kind of thing like that. And, I think it was special said that you're too smart for your own pants. That's all it is. You've been in school too much. Got too much learning.
And that he had. He had plenty of learning.
He's very intelligent.
But also in that, not in this particular one, but he said, hey, I count all of that smart stuff. It's not all of that. It's not all of that. Once you get that light. So I got a lot out, but between 16 and 18, having that testimony that Christ is the light, and it'll turn you from darkness into light, from the power of Satan unto God, that you can have forgiveness of sins and that inheritance. I got that ingrained. I tell people that at every time, I say, your repentance is going to bring forth a reward. I said, so you may look at it and say, I'm giving up something, but there's going to be a reward for giving it up. That's going to be a reward. If y'all hearts and minds are clear, we going to move to 27 next week. We are slowly about to close it out. I want to thank you all, and I want to believe God that he will continue to bring forth to all of our remembrance those things that he has said all during this year, so that we can be better vessels for his use. I look at it as God is preparing us for a ministry way bigger than ourselves, and I thank him for it.
Amen.
Lord, as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us as we go to our next destination, and we'll be careful to give you alone all of the praise, the honor, the glory, the adoration, and thanksgiving. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.